Hello and welcome to Label Sessions Presents, the podcast where we talk to the most interesting people about all the things you need to know in the world of innovation, business design, tech, and culture. I'm Fazlan Esau, and today we're joined by two new expert leaders to join the Label Sessions roster, as well as Josh Nixon from the Label Sessions team. Welcome, everyone.
Hi, everyone. How are you doing?
Hello.
Great, thank you. Great to be here. Thank you.
Awesome. So hello and welcome to Brian White. Brian is best known for building a global supply chain for a native botanical that previously had zero commercial infrastructure. Beyond his own company, Brian serves as a venture builder and advisor to dozens of early stage founders through builders and backers. So welcome, Brian.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Also a big welcome to Greg McCallum. Greg is best known as the No BS advisor. He brings brutal clarity to messy commercial questions, whether it's fixing revenue plateaus, resetting go-to-market strategy, or turning a founder-led sales hustle into a functioning organization.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
So we will jump straight in. And the first thing we're talking about is a new app called Tea. And Tea is sort of this new, I wouldn't call it a dating app. It's an app to get some information on the individual that you may be seeing. So it's enabling women to secretly review men. And it's proving very popular. So popular that it had a data breach over the weekend. But the question is this a positive trend where we're able to do these sort of, a way to look out for other people through information. But also, what does this mean for concerns around data? We've just seen all of the data that got hacked over the weekend. And what does this mean about dating culture when we're sort of popping in sort of reviews as we're going along? Greg, I think, you know, as the No BS advisor, I feel like we could have a great take on this.
I had a feeling you might come to me first on this one. Look, this company will be dead within the next year. It's just that simple. There's no longevity in organizations that capitalize on gossip behavior and toxicity. There are plenty of groups on Facebook and on forums online where people can go get together and bond over their toxic behavior and criticizing human beings. Twitter exists pretty much fundamentally for that entire purpose. It is not a robust business model. It's not one that's built on the best of what humanity has to offer. And for that exact reason, it's destined to fail, like most other apps that have tried to capitalize on similar behavior in the past. It's not interested in any way in facilitating romance between people, in creating better connections. Its only interest is in fostering hatred between individuals. So it has no place in the future of the app infrastructure. And, you know, I think to go, you know, just slightly one step further, I mean, I think the leaks that have basically bared that out, because it's just proven the point of what everyone's concern was initially with this anyway, because everyone can see exactly black and white, exactly what everyone's been saying and who's been saying it. So, to be honest, that's my only take on it. It might not be particularly innovative or mind-blowing, but it is what it is. And people are always going to make crappy apps to try and make a few quid on the backs of putting other people down. That's just the industry we're in, unfortunately.
And like you said, Twitter does already exist and fills a lot of the that role.
But at least it's public.
Yeah.
You know, so at least I think morally it's on a higher standing, you know.
That's the first time I've ever heard anyone say that sentence.
No, it is. I mean, morally speaking, Twitter is, Twitter, I think, fits, I mean, not to get too diverted, but it absolutely fits on with the public square ethos, which is, you know, say things publicly and, you know, risk offending people and also risk being offended. I mean, that is the point of public discourse, is you can say something and people absolutely have the right to disagree and then make their counterclaim back to you. And you have to accept that is the responsibility that you take when you say something publicly. And that's the point. If you hide people behind an app and give them this false sense of security, of which, by the way, doesn't exist in technology anyway, then you're just encouraging people to be the worst of themselves. And so that's not a great way to educate people on how to engage in public discourse, in my opinion.
Well, I like the name. I mean, it seems apropos.
It's so one positive. One positive.
Yeah, yeah. If I can be forgiven the small pun, you know, it's like apropos. Yeah, I mean, I'm newly single and using dating apps for the first time. So I'm like, oh shit. I mean, it's just kind of scary, right? I mean, it's like vigilante justice with the user experience in some ways. So I think it does raise a lot of questions about privacy and consent and digital permanence. I mean, these things never go away, right? But I do think it offers some interesting cultural signals. Like, you know, there's women have a desire for accountability in dating, and the traditional safety structures that are in place are not providing it. So I don't think that that should be ignored, but I kind of agree that the negative is going to outweigh the positive here, and there's going to be a lot of unintended consequences. I hope I don't end up on it, or maybe I get $5. I don't know. Whatever it is.
Based on what I've just said today, I know for a fact I'm probably going to be end up on it, even though I'm not, even though I'm married and I have kids, you know what I mean? But yeah, here's the thing. I don't care. I don't care.
It might be everyone's Coldplay moment, you know, like.
Right.
What a cultural moment that was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cringe. And the whole data protection aspect of it ties in really nicely to something that happened recently in the UK with the Online Safety Act coming into fruition, using, you know, like you can either upload a photo of your driver's license or, you know, use some weird AI finger-me-jiggy to prove that you're 18 to go on, you know, some nefarious sites, but also other sites are getting caught on that same blocker too that aren't even necessarily just, you know, porn. But the thing that I find fascinating about the T situation that ties into that is that they were using the exact same tech that the UK government is in terms of, like, you just turn your webcam on and then you, you know, hold your face up to it, turn left, turn right to technically prove that you're a human, and that's it. And then, you know, the number one thing that people were saying is it's not a matter of if data is going to leak, but when. And for the fact that it happened with a company the exact same week it launched, is just hilarious to me. So it's just what's going to happen next, you know?
Yeah, I mean, just to jump in on that, like, I think there's a couple of things there. I mean, first off, to kind of defend that company somewhat, even though I just absolutely blasted them a minute ago, like they didn't expect to go viral and get the attention that they did. They did, and then therefore they became the you know, the target of hackers to expose that data. But, you know, no one could have really prepared in that organization for the level of virality. And, you know, just knowing what we probably all know about startups is that you don't, you know, you build things as you go. And so you wouldn't have built that level of infrastructure to, you know, for cybersecurity purposes that early on. You know, the budget would have been allocated for that later and so on. So, you know, to give some credit where it, you know, it's kind of due or maybe not due, it's, you know, it's not entirely their fault that they didn't really see that coming. Maybe they should have done. You could maybe put some accountability there. But then in terms of like the new act coming into force in the UK, I mean, I personally think it's actually a pretty good move to be moving in that direction somewhat. I mean, yeah, again, you can make that sort of somewhat moot point of, yeah, but it's easy to get around. I mean, you can say that about literally anything. I mean, you know, needing an ID to go and buy alcohol, you know, the minimum age to have sexual intercourse or buy cigarettes. Like, people are always going to find ways to get around things. That doesn't mean you shouldn't try and do something in order to protect people. And the reality is that the internet has, you know, an enormous amount of content on it that absolutely isn't appropriate for a lot of people at certain ages. And up till literally this point, at least in the UK, there's been very little, if any, attempts to ensure that we're doing something to prevent people from accessing that. So something is better than nothing, and it is heading in the right direction. Is it being mishandled in some ways? Yes. Is it being maybe applied to certain websites or content that shouldn't do? Yes. That is just the nature of implementing a new process. It's messy and it takes time to even out over time, but it will, I'm sure it will get more robust over time.